Hello and welcome to the Go Home Show podcast. I am Chris Anderson, and as ever, joining me is Michael the Crusher Henson as we review SmackDown from the 30th of October. There's plenty to go through, so we'll jump straight into it. We start out with Roman Reigns making his way to the ring. Jey Uso is already in the ring waiting for him. We get an excellent package that recaps the Hell in a Cell match, obviously with essentially Jimmy coming out to save his brother, getting stuck in the guillotine, and Jey being forced to quit. Jey starts making excuses for his loss. He says, "Oh, you never beat me. The only way you could do it was by taking out Jimmy." Reigns says he can use whatever excuses he wants. He still quit. He still lost. Jey says how he can't respect Reigns for what he did, all that kind of stuff. Reigns makes the point that he did whatever was necessary, that Jey will never understand the burden that being the WWE champion is and how much it means and what you have to do for it. Reigns says he loves his cousin and always has, but if he doesn't fall in line by the end of the night, he's out of the family. Jey, on the other hand, is saying how he hates Roman Reigns. He starts crying. It's the complete opposite of emotions. This, again, is another highlight in what is an excellent feud between the two of them. Did very, very good work. It sets up the rest of the show really nicely. It was a good start. I've said before, I'm not always a fan of the promo starts. I don't like cold starts, but it is the WWE way. However, this was a very, very good one. What did you think, Crush?
Yeah, a very, very solid start to the show. Like, it does what it needs. Like, Jey getting all emotional and Reigns just like not showing nothing. Complete comparison to the Hell in a Cell match where Reigns was crying and Jey was out. Yeah, a very good start, and the ending of the show is very good on the back of that, which we can get to later on. But next up, we have the first of two qualifying matches for the Men's Survivor Series team. It was announced that Jey Uso would take on Daniel Bryan in the main event. But next up, it was Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. Now, we start with Robert Roode. He's out to accompany Dolph Ziggler. And Ziggler gains ill control of the match as they like sort of try and confuse KO. So like Ziggler rolls to the outside of the ring, and then they both split up. Ziggler rolls back in and stomps on KO when he gets back in. Hits a neck breaker for a one count before raking Owens' eyes. KO gets sent to the outside. Ziggler distracts the ref, and Robert Roode attacks KO. The referee has that sort of moment in his head, clips what's going on when he turns back round and sends Roode to the back.
You're out of here.
Me and Chris always pop for. After the break, Ziggler hits a neckbreaker into a two count before raking Owens' eyes again. He goes for another neckbreaker before Owens starts the mount of comeback. He goes for a top rope senton bomb, but Ziggler gets his knees up and hits and gets a two count on Owens. Ziggler then counters a pop-up powerbomb into a Fey-master for a close fall. I thought this was a very, very, very nice spot. There's back and forth roll-ups for two counts, and then Owens blocks a super kick and hits a stunner to qualify for the SmackDown Men's Survivor Series team. Chris, a decent match despite it being quite short.
Yeah, this was so I was a bit... The first 95% of this match was a match you've probably all seen before 100 times from WWE TV. It was very paint by numbers. The last minute and a half, 2 minutes was excellent. Like, this was really good working. It was very back and forth. The pace was very good. Like you said, the spot where they go for the pop-up powerbomb into the Famouser, that worked beautifully. The roll-ups were done really well. It was enough to make you believe that that was the finish. The finish itself was very kind of typical of WWE TV. You just hit the finisher, you go home. It's fine. Did what it needed to do. It gets both members of the match into the positions where they need to be, because we'll have Kevin Owens in the Survivor Series team, and I assume we'll have something with Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode into the tag team division. So it does exactly what it needs to do. It keeps everything moving. After that, we had Bianca Belair, Natalya, and Billie Kay backstage with Adam Pearce, all three making their case for being on the Survivor Series team. Adam Pearce makes the smart decision and says, right, we'll have a triple threat match. Whoever wins is in. This was, again, was quite another short match, especially for a triple threat match. Billie Kay pokes Natalya and Bianca Belair in the face before rolling out the ring so the two could square up. It's a very, very nice done spot. I really enjoy the chicken shit heel staying out of the match as much as possible in a triple threat, because it makes sense. Why would you not? If you're not that arsed about fighting, you just want the win, you'd get out of Dodge and let them two kill each other off, and then you come back in and pick up the pieces. I think it works nicely, especially for Billie Kay's character. A couple of times, Natalya or Bianca would hit big moves and Billie Kay would roll back in, try and roll them back up. It works quite nicely. We get a back and forth between all three before Bianca Belair hits probably the cleanest hand spring moonsault I've seen for a long time. Bianca Belair is a athletic freak. There's a reason she's getting pushed to the moon at the moment. There's a reason commentary keeps saying she'll be SmackDown's women's champion within a year. I agree with them. She is nuts. We get Natalya applying a sharpshooter to Bianca Belair. Billy Kay then puts her in a chin lock at the same time. That was quite a funny little spot. I quite like that. I think that works quite nicely, again, with Billy Kay's character. Natalya realizes what's going on, releases the hold to deal with Billy Kay. Billy Kay hits a big boot and an assisted DDT, tries to cover both but can't get a three count. Again, works really nice. Just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We get a sharpshooter on Kay. Belair breaks up and sends Natalya into the ring post, leading Belair to hit the KOD on Billy Kay for the win and qualify for the Women's Survivor Series team. This works really, really nicely. We know that Bianca Belair is a genetic freak. What she needs is more in-ring time. This is not to say that she's not very gifted in the ring, but the more time you can have on main roster TV, the better. This puts her in a situation where she gets that, but she doesn't have to carry the match as such. She can be a member of the women's team. It would not shock me if she's the sole survivor at the end that gets the win. They're pushing it that hard. The match was fine. I think, actually, the one who came out of this best for me was Billie Kay, because she shows to me that she's probably dealing with being a singles competitor more with Peyton Royce. She looks less lost in what her character is as a singles competitor than Peyton. Peyton's a little bit kind of generic at the moment. She needs that defining feature, whatever that will be. Obviously, Billie Kay was always kind of the comedy factor within the Iconics, so it is a bit easier for her to fall into that chicken shit heel. The match did its job. I'm glad Belair's in the Survivor Series team. Natalya doing what Natalya does the best, which is uses her experience to put over the younger talent and elevate them. This did exactly what it needed to do for me.
Yeah, I agree with what you say about Billie Kay there. Like, we saw her in NXT. She was quite a strong heel as well. Like, she had a real good entrance. She had like a massive cape and whatnot. And I agree that I think she has taken to singles competitors, singles matches a lot better than Peyton Royce has since they were split up. Up next, we have a Carmella video segment. And she's talking about why she's the best or something along those lines. But we're going to find out next week why she's untouchable. For me, this means that it's one of two things. She's going to get involved in a match that's been announced that we're going to touch on later. Or two, she's going to be part of Survivor Series team, which I think both could be likely, but we'll see. We then get... how could I describe this? It's slightly weird, because it's Murphy and Aliyah Mysterio coming to the ring so they could apologise to Ray and Dominic for everything he has done when he was with Seth Rollins. And he was saying that he knows he's done horrible things, but he needs to apologise. Murphy asks him to come to the ring, but Seth Rollins is out instead. And the Messiah says that whilst the Mysterios won't accept him, he'll forgive Murphy and embrace whatever relationship he has with Aliyah. He tries to get in their heads, but Dominic comes in and attacks him from behind. Murphy pulls him away and attacks Rollins instead. This leads to them two both scrapping each other. Then we hear the Booyaka Booyaka 619 hit, and out comes Rey Mysterio. He tries to intervene. Murphy sort of like slaps him and pushes him. So he goes for the 619, but Aliyah runs in front of him to stop it, saying that she loves Murphy and refuses to go with Rey and Dominic. Rey and Dominic then leave while she helps Murphy to his feet, and they share a kiss while Rollins looks on with a smile. Yeah, there's a 13-year age gap here, which is slightly weird, but Aliyah's getting better with her performances. Like, we saw she was quite, like, very much green when she first started, but she's sort of getting more into the role. I don't know where this is going. I wouldn't like to think where it's going, but yeah. The sooner we move on, the better. And we get a tag team match up next, Chris.
We do. We have the Street Profits against Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. We get a pre-match promo from the Street Profits towards a New Day. Obviously, New Day cut their promo on Raw, which is very funny. They say that imitation is the highest form of flattery. We get Dawkins and Cesaro to start the match before Montez Ford tags in. We get, it's not match of the night for me. This is not my one match to watch. But if it is if we're doing one spot to watch, it is this spot. They're on the outside. Montez Ford charges towards Cesaro and gets sent into about row 17 of the Thunderdome. It's just a pop-up over the barrier. But obviously, this is the perfect storm of Montez Ford having hops for days and Cesaro being the best base in professional wrestling, in that whatever you want to do, he's strong enough for you to do it. And he launches him. Probably he must get a good 10, 12 feet in the air, horizontal up over the barrier. It's a really good spot. It's an incredible GIF if you can find it. If anything, this SmackDown today has been a great one for GIFs. You've got this one, which is essentially the summary of 2020, and Seth Rollins' smile after the Buddy Murphy and Aliyah kiss will be a meme for years, I'm sure. Getting back to the match, because I got very distracted there, we return to see Ford start to get some offense in against Nakamura. Dawkins hits the hot tag and goes on a rampage, as you'd expect. Cesaro and Nakamura hit a couple of double teams, which were really nice. They looked more, every week I see them, they look more and more like a team. And I'm liking it. I like this team. This team of Cesaro and Nakamura is doing a really good job of essentially being what the bar was when they didn't have a push. I would like to see these two get a push and get another title reign because they are a good dominant heel. I realise this after I've watched it. We've seen Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura lose for weeks on weeks on weeks now. I don't think they've had a win in a while, and yet they don't seem any weaker for it. It's not, they're not a team that if they don't get wins, they don't look strong. So these guys, for me, are guys you can put the belts on and instantly be credible. The finish comes when Dawkins hits a superplex onto Nakamura before Montez Ford hit a huge, as ever, frog splash to get the win. After the match, so this is something I noticed. I've not written down in my notes, so I apologize for, but I've just remembered it. I think Montez Ford hurt himself on the fall. He landed, it looked awkward. It wasn't the cleanest fall from him. He didn't get up. Usually when we get a win from Montez Ford, we see a lot of fire from him. Now, either he's been told he needs to sell more after the match, which this could be, but I think he may have hurt himself so slightly. We need to see what happens next week. If we get an impromptu title match announced next week, it wouldn't surprise me if they drop the belts because I think Montez Ford might need a few weeks out, but let's wait and see. After that, this was one of my favourite moments of the show. I really enjoyed this. Sami Zayn cuts a promo about Survivor Series against Bobby Lashley. For those of you who don't remember, about 2 years ago, we had a Sami Zayn-Bobby Lashley feud, which I believe culminated in an assault course around the ring. That feud, I think we all agree, was a bit poo. But at the time, Sami Zayn was very injured. Now he's back fresh. I enjoy that they're not making him wrestle every week. I'm glad for it. I'm glad his body isn't taking all the bumps that he has to. Sami Zayn talked about how he's never been called the people's champion, but he is the champion of the people. Goes on to talk about how he's loved everywhere, about how being the intercontinental champion, there he has fans in Ireland, in New Zealand, in Cambodia. Goes on about it, says that, and this was my line of the night, Bobby Lashley is the champion of just one country, and let's not get into that country, shall we? This is a good promo. I love Sami Zayn at the moment. I love Liberator Sami Zayn. I think it's great. After that, we have another promo, which is Sasha Banks coming out with her favourite chair. Crush, over to you.
Yeah, so she's nicked the chair from Bayley. Obviously, Bayley had the X spray painted on it, and she brought it to Hell in a Cell before Sasha kicked it out, and then it was retrieved and whatnot. She told Bayley she did what she said she would do, which was take her title back. She thanked Bayley for ending an era. She thought she was a sister, and they were going to take over the company, but they realised. But she quickly realised the friendship wasn't unstoppable. Sasha was. Now she's going on to Survivor Series to face Asuka, the Raw Women's Champion, and it's going to be the best of the best, which shows the Survivor Series tagline as well. Bayley comes out, and this is one of my favourite parts of the show. She fires a dig at Sasha Banks for not being able to defend her championship successfully. Now, I believe that this is Sasha's sixth reign of a title, and she's never successfully defended it. So there's huge shots fired there, and she said that she can't beat Asuka without Bayley in her corner. So she challenges Sasha to a rematch next Friday, which Sasha accepts. So we'll get a huge title match next Friday, Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Interested to see where this one goes. I'd like to think they're going to keep the belt on Sasha Banks, but I'm not too sure they'll want her to lose against Asuka or have Asuka to lose, whereas Bayley can sort of eat the L and be fine with it. Anyway, we get on to the main event of the night. I know Chris is a big fan of it, so I'm going to let him talk about it because he has wrote the notes for this match very kindly. So Chris, over to you to discuss a very, very, very good main event.
Yeah, it was. And what I found very interesting was we had a promo earlier from Daniel Bryan who talks about how like he has this healthy respect for Jey Uso, how Jey Uso has pushed Roman Reigns to the limit twice now, showing how like putting Jey Uso over strongly. What I found very interesting, as soon as this match started, Jey backs Bryan up to the ropes. We don't get a clean break. He hits him in the gut. It's very heelish from the off from Jey Uso, which is not what I expected. I thought we'd see kind of the journey of Jey Uso going from being like healthy respect into probably going heelish as we go along through the match. This was very much like Jey Uso is in his own head. You can see he's not fully focused on the match. The way he's walking around, he's his head down a lot of the time. You can see there's a lot going on in the old noggin. Bryan works the arm of Jey Uso early, eats a Samoan drop for his troubles. Jey beats down Bryan for a bit. Again, it's very heelish. They're really putting over that Jey Uso is the heel. And actually, they use the WWE formula for matches quite well in this, in that we usually see face do something early, heels then control the majority of the match, and then the face comes back and whatever happens from there happens. this works really nicely in that we just see Jey Uso on top, not hitting anything flashy, just stomps, punches. It's all very, very heely. Bryan hits a comeback. He does his flip over the top off the ropes, which always works nicely. Hits the yes kicks. Out comes the tribal chief, the big dog, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns just stands on the ramp. He doesn't do anything. Doesn't get involved. He's just stand there watching, observing. Bryan ties Jey up in the Tree of Woe, hits him with a dropkick from the corner, sets Jey Uso up for a superplex, a back superplex from the top. Jey reverses that into a crossbody, which always works really nicely. Bryan manages to say Jey to the outside, goes for a dive. We see super kick. Jey goes up top for a splash. Bryan counts into the yes lock. We get a rope break. This was a really, really nicely done bit because it really teasing over and over again. When is Roman going to get involved? When is Roman going to get involved? Every time they go anywhere near the Roman Reigns side of the ring, you're ready for it to happen. And it doesn't. And it works beautifully. Bryan gets Jey into the corner, hits the classic Daniel Bryan corner dropkick, runs in for another one, eats a super kick, which Bryan takes a hell of a bump on. He throws himself into that. Takes another super kick, splash. Jey Uso wins clean, middle of the ring. Roman Reigns did nothing for this. Jey Uso, regardless of however they spin this down the line, because they will always want to keep Daniel Bryan strong, this was Jey Uso beating Daniel Bryan clean. Roman Reigns did nothing. Roman Reigns did not distract Daniel Bryan, anything like that. He ran straight into the first super kick, ate the second super kick, and then ate the splash. After the match, Roman Reigns enters the ring. Jey Uso, still in that very hunched over posture, essentially pledges allegiance to Roman, says he gets it now, says he's with him, says that Roman Reigns is the tribal chief. Roman Reigns barely says a word, just stares at Daniel Bryan. It's very Star Wars, Senator Palpatine with the do it to Anakin. I really enjoyed this. Jey hits a superkick and a splash onto Bryan again. Roman finally talks, tells Jey to make sure that Bryan understands. Jey throws Bryan into the ringside steps, puts him onto the announce table. Big splash from the top rope through the announce table, ground and pound. Roman Reigns walking off smiling. That is it for the show. Fade to black. This was done very, very well. It didn't tell the story in the way I thought they would do. I thought we'd see more Jey Uso throughout the show and they'd kind of see his emotional roller coaster going on. This was very much, they portrayed him as the broken man in the match and that his, like, his head had already gone. And he was just now looking just to punish and punish and punish. I really enjoyed this. Crush, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, overall, a good match. Daniel Bryan obviously said this week, I can't remember who he said it to, but he says it's going to be his last full run as a full-time wrestler. So I think we're going to see a lot of this where Daniel Bryan's putting other superstars over clean. He'll probably get one last title run towards the end of this contract or whatever he's on. But yeah, a really good match. And Jey acknowledging Reigns as the tribal chief adds a whole new level to this storyline. Like, so obviously now it, if Jimmy doesn't agree, what happens? Is it brother versus brother further down the line? Like, there's so many possibilities from this storyline now. Also leading up to like WrestleMania next year about the battle of the tribal chiefs between Rock and Roman Reigns for leader of the Anoa'i family. Like, there's so many possibilities from this. Really excited to see where this goes. But yeah, overall, good match, good storyline. And I'd say a good show overall. There's a lot of Survivor Series stuff in. There was only four matches. But again, it's only a two-hour show and there's a lot to get through in those 2 hours.
Sorry, I was going to say, this was very much like it was just another step towards Survivor Series. This wasn't one of those shows where you're like, oh, you've got to see this because this happens. It just started. It was another one where it set everything up nicely. I'm very happy that we're a step closer to either, like you said, getting Rock Roman. If they can't work that out, just give me Roman Reigns versus Big E, Tribe versus New Day. I don't care how you have to get the New Day back together. You can do it. It's WWE. They'll do it for future draft picks or something nonsense like that. I enjoyed this a lot. I was really, really in for it. It is also our match of the night. It's our one match to watch. I think, actually, in all fairness, each match was... No match stood out. There was no match where you're like, oh, that's the one. Like, unlike maybe the Riddle match versus Sheamus last week, where that was the standout match. But the after-the-match stuff with Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, obviously very important to the storytelling. It's very, very well done. Just check out the match. It's worth it just for the after-the-bell stuff. I'm going to go into my top three moments because I'm on a roll now. My number three, Cesaro yeeting Montez Ford into the Thunderdome is incredible. It's just great athleticism from both sides. Number two, Sami Zayn saying you only represent one country, which let's not even get into. Anytime that WWE goes down the line of someone saying, I don't like America that much, and that just makes them the heel is my favorite thing. It's the most WWE thing of all time. And number one, Jey Uso joining the tribe, getting us a step closer to either Rock Roman or Big E versus Roman / New Day versus the tribe. I am in for, keep this, just feed it into my veins. I'm very happy with it. Crush, what's yours?
Yeah, I'm going to start with number three, and it's Bayley's line to Sasha about not being able to defend the championships. As we mentioned, this is now a sixth reign, and she's lost the title on her first title defence on every other time, I believe. Hopefully that isn't correct, and what the stat that I read is right. I can't remember who wrote it. It was on Twitter. It was, I can't remember who it was. But yeah, that was my third top moment. The second one was Cesaro yeeting Montez Ford, as Chris would say, into the Thunderdome. As Chris mentioned, it was like, it's got to be 10 or 12 feet high. Like, Montez Ford flies on his frog splash, but this was flying to the next level. And my top moment was, of course, Jey Uso and Roman Reigns being crowned the true tribal chief. A very good segment. Go and check it out. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks for listening. Make sure to leave us a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod, and check us out on YouTube, Sport Wrestling, for all our interviews. Make sure to check out the main podcast featuring a man involved in the NXT UK main event from Thursday night, Ilya Dragunov. He stops by to chat everything about NXT UK, his history in wrestling, signing for WWE, and much more. We discuss the most ridiculous storyline ever, and wow, there's a few in there. A closer look at WWE Untold, The Phenom and The Legend Killer, and much more. Thanks for listening. Let's go home.